Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans and the National Football League with him. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So the Predators are on the holiday break right now. They'll be back at it tomorrow against St. Louis on the road. And they're not back home until, I believe, January the 11th is the date. So pretty good amount of time they're about to spend on the road here. In the last six games, they are 4-1-1. A nice win for them the other night against Carolina. They win 5-2. 4-1-1 in their last six games. As Nick pointed out in the last segment, the top line, a big part of that. Forsberg, I think, has 12 assists in the seven-game streak right now for Marchessault. Marchessault has a seven-game point streak going on. He's got 11 points during that span. And Joe, it kind of feels like since they made the move basically out of necessity to go with Steven Stamkos playing the number one center role, things have started to change for this team. Now, it didn't happen immediately. Ryan O'Reilly got hurt in Toronto. Stamkos played the next night, number one center in Montreal. They lost the next three games. So it's not like it was just an immediate return of results. But they were generating some pretty good chances. And then starting with the Dallas game back on December the 12th, they won that one. They played reasonably well in Colorado that Saturday night, ended up losing the game, and they've won three out of four since then, with the other loss coming in overtime to Pittsburgh. So they're picking up some points, they're winning some games, and they just look like a much better team right now with the lineup kind of shaking out the way it is. Forsberg, Stamkos, and Marchessault have been really good together. Ryan O'Reilly's kind of slotted in on that second line, mostly with LaRue and Nyquist. And it kind of feels like they've settled into a little bit of a groove here with their forward group. I guess the question is, what does it all mean? They've started to play better. They look like a pretty decent hockey team right now. They're still 11 points out of a playoff spot. So there's a lot of work left to be done if you're going to even approach getting back into the playoffs here, if you're the Predators. Joe, what do you make of the way that they've played over the last couple of weeks here? And the wins that have now started to pile up here for the Predators.
Yeah, well, like Nick said in the last segment, talking about Marchessault, I mean, there's a guy who I think for some of these early struggles, he's been a clear guy you're looking at, like, man, you know, the acquisition of him, how he fits, is he a little bit of a malcontent, you know, all those things. And now for him to do what he's doing, all these things, I think, Robbie, first of all, like, we do have to a little bit think about next year, you know, and sort of, you know, like how things might push forward with some tweaks and who's still got, you know, some game and things like that. So, like, I do think of it in those terms. But, of course, you know, you still – I mean, you've got almost 50 games left, and it's not like it's impossible for this team to – get back into the mix. So it's great to see, you know, signs of life. Obviously, the Stamkos move, which was not an obvious one. I don't think anybody was calling for that, right? Before it happened, you kind of just think, yeah, that guy's, you know, he's not going to play center much anymore in his career. And I don't know, at some point this year, does it get to be too much for him? I don't know, but obviously it's working. I mean, beating Carolina like that's a very good win. You know, they've gotten themselves to 8-7-3 at home, which is, you know, they're taking advantage a little bit of being at home. They're 3-10-4 on the road.
Yeah.
So this road trip to me is like, okay, I mean, they just, you know, they've got to put something together. And if they do, you know, you start getting to the point where, you know, if you look at it in the whole math of like what you'd have to do to get to like 95 points, which is roughly, it's still absurd to ask this team to do that.
Yeah.
But to me, you just have to do it in increments. I mean, can you play good hockey for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month? You know, can you get some consistency? And if you do, at some point you're going to look up and you're probably not going to be terribly far behind the last spot. And I do still think this team, And again, now I'm going way beyond what's right now reality for an 11-17-7 team. But I do think that this team, if a lot of things started coming together like they appear to be now, could be dangerous.
Well, here's the, I think, the really important part of this, and not to wash away this season, because that's not what the bar was, and I get that. But a conversation, Joe, we were having about 3-4 weeks ago was, man, how screwed are they moving forward if this is what everybody is, right? Like, if Stamkos, Marchessault, Brady Shea have, like, all fallen off the cliff, how screwed are they the next couple of years? And it's nice to see, regardless of what it ends up meaning from, like, you know, a standing standpoint this year, it's nice to see those guys play good hockey all at the same time. Like, Stamkos and Marchessault are playing really well right now. Brady Shea has been a lot better lately than he was earlier in the year. So it's nice to see those guys play and play well and to be a big part of the winning that's going on here. What does it mean for this year? Like, the math would tell you it's still going to be just really, really hard to get back in this thing. Like, they're going to have to go on an absurd run. And, you know, 4-1-1 is great. I mean, you're going to have to extrapolate that sort of pace out for basically the rest of the year. So how realistic is that to ask of this team? Probably not very. Like, I mean, you dug yourself in such a big hole to start the year that, I mean, the reality is it's probably just going to be really difficult to dig yourself out of it. So, you know, in some ways, it doesn't change the math all that much for the outlook this year. Like, let's say they play a lot better and they end up, you know, 5 points out of a playoff spot at the end of the year, or 3 points out of a playoff spot at the end of the year. Like, is anybody going to feel great at the end of the year? Probably not. But I will say, Joe, like, I thought a couple weeks ago we might be trending towards, oh my goodness, what an unmitigated disaster with these guys they brought in. And it's nice to see those guys not only have a pulse, but to, like, be a big part of why they're winning games right now.
Yeah, no question, because you're right. I mean, next year, you know, again, like, a lot of these guys are back, like it or not, for better or for worse. You'd rather it be for better. So that is that's very important that happens. And yeah, like, again, like Marchessault a month ago, it's like, this guy just, like, won out? I mean, like, what is that, you know? And now he's on a heater. And yeah, it's good to keep in mind, even with this, you know, the Preds are still second worst in the league in goal different point differential. Yep. Or yeah, goal differential minus 20. The only team worse is the Sharks. So that's after this little surge, you know.
Right.
So it's good to keep in mind. But yeah, it's, look, if your scenario plays out where they end up 3 or 5 back, I mean, at least they'll be playing games that matter at the end of the year. Like, at least, like, you know, like, that's the thing. Can they, I mean, some of this is, like, as we've talked so much this fall about Nashville sports fans and the I'm trying to think of the word without using a bad word, the bleep pie that they've been forced to eat all fall. You know, it's like, at least, like, can they have, like, some games of relevance in February and March? Yeah. That'd be nice.
It would be. I mean, look, and again, we're still a long way from that right now, right? Like, you got to
– yeah.
I mean, you bring up the road record. It's been abysmal on the road. And they got 3 straight coming up to close out the month here against Central Division teams, St. Louis, Winnipeg, Minnesota. So, I mean, they've got their work cut out for them on the road here. But it does kind of feel like the move to Stamkos at center has just freed them up a little bit. And, look, there's one part of – the conversation around him specifically that I've never bought, and we've talked about this before, but, like, the idea that, like, he's some old pawpaw out there and can't skate has never been true, and it's never been backed up by the numbers. And you go look at the actual statistics right now and how they measure skating speed and burst and all that. Like, he's playing really well. Like, he's skating well. He's moving well. I think Brunette last week said he was skating like a young pup. Like, he looks really good coming up through the middle. How sustainable is that long term? I mean, you know, I talked to him last week and he said, you know, nobody on either side, his side or the Predator side, really had this as a part of their plan to come into the season for him to play center. And it just kind of worked out that way. And it's like the first move at forward they've made all year, Joe, that's worked, right? Like, basically, that's what it is. It's like they've tried every other conceivable combination to get these guys going except this one. And then when they were basically forced into trying this one, it's unlocked all three of those guys. Now, the Forsberg part of this is interesting because they need him to score, and he's not scoring. Like, he's got, I think, like Nick said, at a 13-game goal drought right now. He's got one goal in like his last 20 games. I mean, that's obviously not good. Like, you've got to get him going that way. He does have 12 assists in his last seven games, so at least when he's not scoring, he's setting other guys up. But if they could find a way to get him and Marchessault going at the same time while Stamkos is down the middle and they're finishing his chances that he's setting up, I mean, that line could be really, really good. I'm just really interested to see what it means this year. I mean, look, a month ago, Joe, 3 weeks ago, all we were talking about with the hockey team was, hey, are they going to fire the coach? When are they firing the coach? And I wonder now, like, does that conversation disappear with the fan base? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from the Academy in Goodlettsville, more than just a training space. Here, every class is a journey into the art of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, taught by their dedicated instructors. They have a state-of-the-art facility that offers everything from muscle recovery services to top-tier training equipment. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals and get $150 a month of unlimited classes for just $75. Make sure you check that out. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, taking your thoughts on the Predators, who are 4-1-1 in their last six and are playing much better hockey than they were at the beginning of the year. Brent on the YouTube chat, Joe, says, it will kind of suck to pick 15th in the draft. Probably too talented to keep losing all year. I guess they'll play 500 hockey down the stretch. I have heard a lot of similar sentiments from Predators fans the last few days of, oh, great, now they're playing good hockey and they're going to end up picking like 14th in the draft this year. Should be fun.
Man, I hear you. I do. But, like, seriously, January, February, March, do you really want 3 months of, like, completely meaningless hockey? Again, right now we're talking about the fringe of meaningful hockey, maybe.
Right.
Based on a good, you know, five-game stretch, six-game stretch. I hear you. Remember, you know, the one thing that has been true through all of this with the Preds is they have draft capital. Like, they have the ability to move around if they need to. They've got multiple firsts. I mean, they have kept that part of the, you know, what the whole transition from Poile to Trotz, and they've stockpiled. So, you know, if this were a year where there were a Bedard, who, by the way, certainly isn't exactly the next Gretzky at this point, but still, I mean, he's going to be just fine. But if there was a Bedard kind of guy at the top of the draft, you know, then I think it'd be a little bit more understandable. I don't know, man. I get that, like, if this is still the same situation when we're, like, in early February, and it's just like, that's it, just ditch it. But, I mean, you still do have hope for meaningful hockey this year.
You do. We'll see if they can continue to follow up on that and continue to win, to inch their way back into that. But, yes, like, I mean, the alternative is 3 months of just brutal hockey. And, again, like I said last segment, to me it's more important than just this year. Like, I mean, these contracts that you signed are with you. And, like, you need those guys to play well and to produce. Otherwise, you're not getting out of this anytime soon. Now, a couple of things on that. Like, they're not done making moves. You brought up the draft capital that they have. Look, Barry Trotz has said it. You know, don't be surprised if he goes out and buys and brings in somebody that he feels like could be a part of their long-term future. Look, he's not – obviously, at this point, he's not going to go out and bring in, like, you know, give up a second-round pick to bring in some rental player. But if he feels like it's a person, you know, a lot of people trying to connect the dots to Dylan Cousins in Buffalo, you know, 23-year-old center, like, that could be a part of your long-term future. Could you get yourself involved in that if Buffalo decides to trade? Like, I think Barry Trotz is going to be aggressive on that front to try to continue to help his team dig their way out of it for this year and set yourself up for next year moving forward here. But, like, look, if, you know, if we get a month from now and they're still 10 points out of a playoff spot, like they're going to start selling off some more pieces. I mean, they've already sold off Carrier. Like Nyquist will be sold off at some point if they're not in a playoff spot. I'm interested to see what happens with Colton Sissons, who is not having a good year right now. Like, what does that look like moving forward? So there's a lot of moves that still could be made, but they're playing better hockey right now, and I think that has been good to see. So what does it mean for the coach? I mean, that's all we were talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Joe, was Andrew Burnett. Was he actually on the hot seat, and at what point would you have had to make the move if you're the Predators? Now, they did not, obviously, make that move, and there's nothing that's really ever come out of Barry Trotz's mouth that makes me think that they were, you know, super close to firing him at any point. Obviously, they're starting to win now, and, you know, the players have talked about some adjustments that they've made in their 5-on-5 game and some, you know, some tweaks to the system that they've made to kind of work their way through this. So right now, Joe, you know, in terms of like the realistic hot seat, it doesn't feel like Brunette's close to being on it. How do you view the Brunette part of this as they've dug their way, you know, out of their hole over the last six games, or 4-1-1, and kind of looking ahead at the path forward here? How does Brunette factor into all this in your mind?
Yeah. Well, look, I said when it looked like it might have to happen at some point pretty soon, like, it's going to be a shame if what I have never not thought, if that makes sense, was a promising young coach is going to be bounced and then, you know, go pick it up somewhere else. I credit to Trotz for kind of really, to me, I think going against the grain. I think that not firing Brunette is going against the grain a little bit. You know, it's only second year, and it is coming off, you know, a year in which he was, you know, I think one of the really good coaching jobs in the league, but still, that's what the league is. So I think some credit to Trotz for not, you know, sort of doing, going by the beat of his own drum. And yeah, I suppose it's possible that they could go all of a sudden into another swoon, and at some point it's like, okay, this season is absolutely toast. So, you know, you could make that move, but even if that's the case, if they get to the point, you know, not like late in the year, but like in January at some point, where it's like, okay, look, there's no reason anymore to talk about the standings. It's over. Do you move on from him then? I mean, I still would have a problem with doing it. You know, again, unless you really believe he's the culprit, or you really believe, you know what, this group needs, you know, obviously there's the same like recyclable few coaches out there. This group would need, this guy would be way better for this group than him. So let's set the wheels in motion to make that happen. I have a hard time buying that he's the issue here. So I think at this point, it's, you know, obviously if they keep playing better, then it becomes less and less of a talking point.
Well, there was a point a few weeks ago where it kind of felt inevitable. Like they got off a road trip and they came back. Yeah. They had practice. They were off that Sunday. I think they had practice on a Monday at Centennial Sportsplex. And I've told a lot of people this, like there have been countless days where I've walked into Centennial Sportsplex at their practice facility and had been 100% sure that the coach was walking out of the door by the time practice started. And I was not that day. Like I was sitting there in the bleachers and I was like, so, like, is Brunette still going to be the hockey coach of this team when they walk out for practice today? Obviously he was. But there was so much negativity around the team then. They were losing so much. And there was, you know, it was right after Marchessault had made his comments in the media to the French media about, you know, the way that he's been played. And there's just a lot going on at the time. It felt at one point to me like inevitable that it was going to happen, that Brunette was going to have to be the one that fell on the sword at some point. And to his credit, like, he's coached his way through it. I do think they've figured some things out with what they're trying to do. And it's not just the Stamkos thing. Like, I think that's been the biggest factor. Stamkos, Marchessault, and Forsberg playing together and looking really good. But it kind of feels like everybody else has figured it out too. Like, that to me at the beginning of the year was probably the most mystifying thing. It's like, all right, I can understand Stamkos and Marchessault and Brady Shea. It's taken a while. But what about everybody else? Like, what's going on with everybody else? Where they, you know, they've been here. They can't get this figured out. And it kind of feels like the forward lines right now are right where they need to be. Like, Tommy Novak's playing better. You know, Luke Evangelista's playing better. Ryan O'Reilly and Zach LaRue and Nyquist, I think, are a good fit together on that line. Like, they've got a lot of things that appear, and I use the word appear very selectively because there's still a long way to go, but appear to be falling into place right now. So I think Brunette deserves some credit for that. And I think, to your point, like Barry Trotz, I do think it's going against the grain. Like, we saw that's the other part of this, Joe. Not only was there a lot of negativity around the Predators, there was a lot of coach firings taking place. Like, Chicago fired their coach, right. Boston fired their coach, and St. Louis fired their coach. And there was a lot of pressure, I think, to do that. If you're, you know, I know the fan base, or at least the loud majority of the fan base from what I interact with, and I don't know exactly what that splits to for the actual Preds fan base, but there's a lot of people that wanted to move on from the coach. And right now it looks like he has figured out some solutions here.
Detroit's about to fire their coach. Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of that going around. Yeah, no, you know, it's I'd love to know if on that day, like during those days, maybe we can ask him next time we have him on. Like, because Brunette, you know, I mean, I think you handle those questions as well as you can. It never can be easy, right? We handled it better than like Laviolette handled Vingan asking him every day about his job. But I'd love to know, like, how much he wondered at that time.
Yeah.
Like, did he have some sort of conversation with Trotz? Like, hey, man, just don't listen to the noise. It's BS. Just keep doing your job. Or was he like, Barry, why didn't Barry text me already today? You know, I mean, again, I laugh about it. I mean, it's like someone's job. But that's the league. You know, they all know that. I mean, all the coaches know that, too. The good thing about the coaches in this league is they get recycled. They get more opportunities, probably. Second, third chances in any other league too, but I'd love to know, you know, how worried he was and how does he feel now? I mean, you know, look, for everybody, like you said, there's some things that are starting to take now with this team, which is also makes me wonder, like, it's just the way Brunette goes about things. Is it just like guaranteed that every year there's going to be a slow start?
Well, that's a good question, because that can't be the case at some point either, right? Like, you got to get that part of it figured out at some point. But I mean, look, you know, last year it was a slow start, and I think last year's slow start a little bit more explainable than this year's slow start, but it's been back-to-back years where it's been slow. Now, this one's been super slow, and it's kind of gone on for a while. So I'm interested to see, like, if this is a trend for him moving forward, because he's got to get that part of it figured out. But at the moment, it feels like he's finding some answers right now. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. What do you make of Andrew Brunette, the Predators, and the winning that they've started to pull off as of late? Is it too little too late? What does it mean for Brunette's job status moving forward for the rest of this year? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in to 1025-1063 The Game tomorrow for Vanderbilt football, presented by Prince's Hot Chicken. The Commodores taking on Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl, with pregame beginning at 1 o'clock, kickoff at 2:30. Coverage also available on the 1025 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. By the way, Joe, real quickly before we get back in the Preds, I did have a listener reach out to me last week and say that he ran into Scott Stapp last week and asked him about the recording of the Rocks Road commercial. And Stapp said that he did not recall doing that. So, playing hard to get still. Thank you, Scott.
That's too bad. Well, I mean, you know, all of our brains have like limits, right? And when you've made that much bad music in your life, there's probably not as much room in your brain to remember things.
Oh, Scott, we love you.
Just a theory.
Yep. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Preds 4-1-1 in their last six games. They were 3-0-1 on this most recent homestand. They'll be back at it tomorrow, taking on the St. Louis Blues on the road. You know, the Brunette part of this is interesting because there's a couple different aspects of it here, Joe. Like, number one, as we talked about last segment, I think he's clearly figured some things out here. you know, Marchessault started to play a lot better. They just look a lot more in sync on the ice together with what they're trying to do. And, you know, they've talked about some adjustments they've made there. At the end of the day, though, like, I do wonder, when you get to the end of this season, if it goes the way I think it's going to, which is they're probably still going to miss out on the playoffs just because of you dug yourself in such a gigantic hole to begin the season. Like, what do you do after that? Do you just say, well, we dug ourselves a really bad hole. We started to figure it out, you know, kind of 30 games into the season. We started to play better. We look like a pretty good hockey team from then on out, if that's the way this plays out. But ultimately, the hole was too big, and it wasn't, you know, it just wasn't enough. We weren't able to get back in the playoffs, and you miss out on the playoffs. Like, if you told a Predators fan before the year that this team wasn't going to make the playoffs, I mean, it would have been an unbelievable disappointment if that was the case. Now, we all know how the way this thing has started, and the playoffs have kind of felt like a distant memory for this team for the last few weeks here. So I do wonder, like, there's two different sides of it. The start was so bad, and there was so much negativity around the coach, and obviously he survived that to this point. But what do you do if you get to the end of this whole thing, if you're Barry Trotz and Bill Haslam and everybody else looking at the big picture and say, okay, well, we still didn't make the playoffs with this group that we assembled here. What's the path forward here?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that gets into you mentioned Haslam. That gets into also, like, okay, so this goes on Brunette or this goes on Trotz for assembling a flawed team that he thought was going to be A, B, C, but was actually D. And I understand Trotz has made the comments, you know, this isn't fantasy hockey, but still, you know, that you have to kind of sort through that too. And again, I'm not saying like Barry, it's like fire one of them. I'm just saying that's kind of helps determine how you evaluate Brunette. And then also it'd be like, look, does what this coach does it work best for this group? Is there someone else out there that might, you know, work better? I mean, I think if they get to the end and it's like they got to a decent point, they stabilized and were a decent hockey team, but the hole was too big to deep out of, then yeah, I think you definitely have to still evaluate at that point if this is the coaching direction you want to go in. Caleb on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says, hope you all had a Merry Christmas. The top line is insane, and if Forsberg gets going, we can win a lot of games in a row.
Maybe. I mean, look, they're going to need, I mean, a 10-game winning streak is probably a little much, but, I mean, they're going to need like a 20-game stretch here to get back in this thing, Joe. They're going to need like a 20-game stretch here where they win like 15 of them, 15, 16. And they lose maybe one or two in overtime. I mean, they need an absurd streak because it's not just about
– like they had last year.
Yeah, like they need something like that. I mean, and is it impossible for them to do that? No. But, I mean, it's going to take a lot. And it's not just about the 11 points back of a playoff spot you are. But I say this all the time. It's also like other teams have to lose too. That's part of this. So they're going to need a heck of a run. Can this team do it? I mean, sure, they can. Like, Saros is still playing pretty well. I think, actually, defensively, they're playing better right now than they have in a while, and it's kind of amazing that they're doing that with guys like Blankenberg in the lineup and, you know, Justin Barron made his debut the other night. I'll tell you what, we've not talked about this yet. Adam Willsby is good. Like, it's gone beyond just a, oh, this is a nice story for the kid who's been called up 3 or 4 games. That kid is a stud. I'm not saying he's going to go win some Norse trophy in his future or anything like that, but I'm comfortable saying that he is not going back down to Milwaukee. Like, he is going to be here, and he is going to be here for a while. He is really good.
Well, and you know, when you look at the big picture of everything, obviously it's so important moving forward that – they start getting more out of these guys coming up. I mean, LaRue is – it's a good story right now.
He's playing well.
In this year, the fact that he has kind of done what he's done, you know. And obviously there's some more guys coming here in the next couple of years that are going to be really critical. But they went too long with guys who weren't working out. Too many misses, not enough hits. I mean, that's going to be a big part of the story too. So at least there's some positivity in that way with the young guys at this point.
I mean, I was joking with some Preds people last week. I was like, wow, so you guys had Bobby Orr in your minor league team for half the year and then decided to bring him up, huh? How about that? That's pretty good. Like, he's been unbelievable. Like, he's been really, really good. So, like, I feel a little bit better about their defense, even, you know, even with the Carrier trade. Like, you trade off Carrier. I think part of the reason they traded Carrier was they looked at Willsby and said, yep, he's pretty good. He needs a bigger role, and we're not having to pay him anywhere near as much as Alex Carrier. So that's part of the reason you make a trade there. Like, there's a lot about their game right now that's coming together. Now, the question that I still have is the question I've had all year. Now, they've done it now for longer than they have at any point this year, but how long can they keep it going? Like, how often this year have they said, wow, they look pretty good against Winnipeg, and then they followed it up with 8 losses in a row after that? This is the longest stretch of good hockey that they've played. How long is it going to last, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, and again, it's going to be them bucking a season-long trend of just not playing well away from. I mean, at one point it was like, boy, they're really playing poorly at home and on the road.
Yeah,
but they've picked up a little momentum at home. 3-10-4 on the road, and they're going to have to have one of those great road trips. You know, those winning road trips, I think, can really galvanize a team too. You know, I think sometimes it almost counts a little bit more for you if you can do it. But again, we haven't seen anything from this team yet to suggest it can. If you do that, then okay, now you start to look up and you're like, well, now it's 10 games that you're playing really well. You know, can you make it 15 and then 20?
I would say this, like, they're 11 points out of a spot right now of the last wild card spot. If you can get to the end of January and you can look up and you're like 6 points back, that's when you start to look at it and say, all right, well, maybe you've got a shot coming down the stretch. Like, it's, you know, it doesn't sound like that's a whole lot of ground to make up in a month. But like I said, everybody else is doing a lot of winning too. So you got to find a way to break that if you're them.
And there's a bunch of teams you have to get past. You know, like, you can't expect, you know, one or two of them are going to go on a heater too.
Exactly.
One or two may fall back, but when you have that many teams, then yeah, it's just it's a way longer swim to the eyes creeping above the water than it may look like with just the number 11.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Coming up next, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Just remember, don't use that urinal that's right next to the sink with no divider between them if you can do it at all costs in Jacksonville. You know what I'm talking about.
Your bathroom fascination is very disturbing.
Screaming, and it is so annoying.
Why do I have to have it on my TV? I mean,
you'd have to bleep out every other word.
Your wife has good taste.
Seems like kind of a dumb
soap except
opera.
In men.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor post Christmas is yours.
Thank you. I actually almost shifted this to when you talked earlier, Robbie, about assembling things. You know, I could go on this thing about, you know, if you're a parent of young kids, to cherish and take video of every moment, you know, because at some point you'll either have kids who won't be there or like couldn't care less, you know. So, but I feel like I do that one a lot. So instead, I'll go to another one that I do all the time, but I do think it's timely. I just want to make sure that we have the blame properly placed, okay, for what people are mad about with college football. And again, I want to make sure that next week when you all watch the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds, which some of them shouldn't be top 4 seeds, by the way, that's a fix that we can do right away. But when you watch those teams and realize that not the top 4 seeds in this tournament did not get home games, but the 5, 6, 7, and 8 did. Yeah, that's something that needs to change badly. But the whole thing with this bracket and like Boise State being where it is and Arizona State being where it is. Remember, this bracket was unveiled in June of 2021.
Yep.
At that point in this lovely world of college football, there were five power leagues. This was a compromise. The SEC and Big Ten wanted an eight in which there were no conference champions. It was purely by choice because, of course, they figured they could load it up, especially the SEC. The other leagues, of course, said, oh, we'll do eight, but it has to be the conference champion so they could guarantee that at least get one team in, right? Well, then, of course, about a month later, Greg Sankey goes out and takes Oklahoma and Texas, and boom, fast forward to there's four power conferences, not five. That was the whole point of this bracket, was that you had five power conferences. So Oregon, you know, would have been probably, you know, could have been the number one seed, whatever, but they'd be a champion of that league, and it would actually make more sense. Now it doesn't make sense. So, again, you have to go – conference expansion is the culprit of all of this stuff, all the stuff. And I know, like, we can't change it, but I just want to make sure that you can hate the 12-team, and that's fine. You and I have debated it, you know, a lot. But the expansion is what makes this so stupid, right? Like, I mean, again, yes. Indiana 11-1, and they didn't play – they just happened to play a bad schedule. I mean, look, Michigan and Washington were supposed to be good. They just played for the national title, but they didn't. They didn't play Penn State. They didn't play. So I mean, they didn't play a lot of the better. They didn't play Oregon, obviously. I mean, SMU's in the ACC, right? I mean, I think SMU should have made it based on the way it all went down, but somehow they're in the ACC. They don't face Clemson till the title game. They don't face Miami. They don't play Syracuse. It's just these leagues are stupid. So this is going to be a problem. So I'm not just going to complain. Again, how do we fix it? First of all, you seed the field. I think this can happen next year. There's no reason you can't fix this next year. Maybe you have to wait until 2026 because technically, like, it's all on the same contract this year, next year. Then a new contract starts in 26. So it might have to wait till then. But that's an easy one. Is, you know, you seed the field. You no longer have, you know, again, Boise State and Arizona State getting byes. Like, we could have had good games if those two teams played against Indiana, SMU, whatever, right? Whatever the combination would have been, we could have had better games. And then you kind of build up to the final eight. And then, of course, yeah, again, I will never stop bitching until it ends that we are going to, again, go from these scenes that we had. Now, it looks like we're going to have good crowds at these quarters. And you've got traditional powers with huge fan bases in them, you know, then you're going to get to the semis. And it's just way too much bowl game, man. It's way too much bowl game. And I understand the bowls are freaking out about this possibility of not being involved in this, but it just has to happen. And another thing that has to happen is that the season needs to go earlier. There's no why can't we have everybody play August, you know, 25th? And get it to the point where the semis are on New Year's Day. That's another fix I would do. So I've just fixed everything.
I like that.
You're welcome.
Well, then in 2026, we can all look forward to the 14-team playoff as well, which is what's going to happen. So looking forward to that.
It could. It might. I don't know that that's 100% lock, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard to argue that, you know, it won't get there. Certainly at some point, or maybe it doesn't get there then, and it gets to 16, like in 2032. But yeah, that's probably where we're headed. I know some people are like, you got to, you know, cut this down. There's too many teams. Like, you know, you don't have 12 teams that can win it all. Yeah, but you're not going backward. I mean, no. Like you're not providing less opportunity. And again, go backward. And then some of these games that these teams are in, now half of their rosters are opting out. So, you know, that's reality.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.